Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, a co-production of EWTN Radio and SpiritualDirection.com, where we provide you with a spiritual haven of rest and explore the riches of the wisdom of the saints and the path to union with God.
This is Dan and Stephanie Burke. Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, your radio haven of rest.
Your hermitage of the heart.
Your monastery of the mind, where we lift our hearts and minds to God, to the wisdom of the saints, to the mystical tradition of the church, in order to give us strength, perspective, encouragement, and all we need to face the tumult of life, the storms of life, and they are raging. But God be praised, even in the midst of the worst storms, we have such clarity in the New Testament through the apostles. We can have peace. Paul wrote about peace that passes understanding from a jail cell. So, and then we have in the book of Acts, of course, we have the apostles and disciples who are getting beaten, imprisoned, beaten, all their rights taken away, and it says that they have joy. So this is something God's calling us to. He's calling us to be free. And I couldn't think of a better way, and particularly in the context of marriage, but also outside, to explore this book, Discernment of Spirits in Marriage by Father Timothy Gallagher, Ignatian Wisdom for Husbands and Wives. You can find it's brand new out. You can find it at out at spiritualdirection.com. You could also get it at EWTN's religious catalog. And we want to welcome Father Timothy Gallagher back to the show. Thanks for being with us, Father Gallagher.
Oh, thank you to both Dan and Stephanie. I'm glad to be here.
Awesome.
So just for our listeners, this is episode 2. If you want to get the entire series, make sure you go out to spiritualdirection.com. It'll eventually be posted there if it's not already there.
You subscribe.
Subscribe when you're there and you'll get the shows.
Plus a whole lot of other stuff.
Oh, yeah. Thousands of articles on the interior life. Hundreds of books, all the best
podcasts.
Podcasts. Yep. Awesome stuff.
Videos. I love our site. I know. Think it's awesome.
Well, that's why we have readers.
It's just such a beautiful thing. We have readers in how many?
190 countries.
Yeah.
That's just a few.
And millions of hits all over the
God
world.
Be praised.
It's just awesome.
Because our faith is amazing, and it's the way that people get free. So, Father Gallagher, we're talking about the second chapter, which is when you want to grow closer to God. If you could set us up with our couple, Mark and Anne, and help us understand how we're going to explore this second rule of St. Ignatius.
So the second chapter shows us Mark and Anne. They're married now. They have 3 children. So they've been married a number of years. And at the start of the chapter, Mark has heard an announcement at Sunday Mass that a father, Ed Reed, is going to come to give a talk in the parish. And he's curious because he remembers a priest by that name in his grade school, whom he always liked, and decides to go to the talk, and Anne goes with him. And this Wednesday evening, he sees Father Reed appear, and it is Father Reed, the same priest that he remembers, older, obviously physically frail. But Father Reed is kind of the wisdom figure in the story. He's a man of great love of the Lord and goodness. And his message really speaks to Mark. And Mark tells Anne that for the first time, he said, "I knew you could serve God, but I never knew you could love God." And Father Reed reveals this to him through his example and his words. And this sparks a change now in Mark. He's been going to Mass regularly now for some years, but something new happens. Anne notices that Mass means more to him now. Then one Sunday, the priest invites the people to pray for 10 minutes each day with the readings from the daily Mass. And Mark decides he wants to do this. Anne shows him how to do it. He gets started. One of the men in the parish invites him to the Tuesday morning monthly men's breakfast, and Mark starts going to this and enjoys it. The talks that are given and the camaraderie with like-minded men. And one of the talks is on confession, and he decides to start going to that regularly. And as he does this, begins to see clearly, more clearly than ever before, that some habits he's gotten into are not good for him spiritually. So certain ways of using the internet, for example, certain kinds of conversations, and then maybe some business practices that maybe are not downright dishonest, but skirt the unethical. And he starts making changes. He changes his use of the internet, quietly pulls away from the conversations, changes the practices at work. And at the same time, Ann notices something else happening in Mark. He's becoming more patient at home, warmer, more sensitive to her needs. And something wonderful is starting to happen in their marriage and in their family. They're all drawing closer together. People at work notice something similar in Mark as well. Right now we have Mark precisely in the profile that Ignatius has in mind in his second rule. This is a person who is growing in freedom from sin and rising, Ignatius says, from good to better in the service of God our Lord. Now, reverently, Ignatius is now talking to all of us. Like Mark, we have our weaknesses and our struggles, but that's sincerely what we're trying to live. All right, so in this case now, how is the enemy going to work and how is the good spirit going to work? So we next witness an exchange of emails between Mark and Jim. And Jim invites Mark to one of the, you know, kinds of sessions they used to go to. Mark doesn't want to confront this deliberately, just head on, just says, I'm too busy, I can't go. Finally, Jim loses patience. And I'll just read Jim's final email in this exchange. Mark, I know you. You get these enthusiasms, that is this new life of faith and everything, but they never last. You think you're going to change in some way, but it will all end pretty quickly. Very reverently, have we ever heard that voice when we've wanted to grow toward God? Remember, I know who you are. I know what you've done. Make your efforts if you want. Try if you like. But you know and I know that it's not going to last. Again, reverently, have we ever heard that? And it's pretty discouraging for Mark because he's still frail on this new journey. And things start to get kind of heavy for him. Ann notices it and, trying to help him, suggests, why don't you speak with Father Reed, which Mark does. And Father Reed starts to show him another side of this, just how God has been leading him, these inspirations that have led him to take wonderful new steps, the hope that he's been feeling, the new peace. So you have the situation set up in which, on the one hand, as this man is growing, here is a set of discouraging influences, and here are a set of encouraging influences. And obviously the call is going to be to reject the discouraging influences of the enemy and embrace the encouraging action of the good spirit. All right, again, I'll pull back and we can start to break this open.
Okay, so Father, an important thing that you describe in this story, we've experienced a lot and recognized it, and that is that when someone moves from going from mortal sin to mortal sin, which was our last episode, now we have somebody who's going from good to better. So they've made a choice. And St. Ignatius says someone who is going on intensely purifying. So Mark is working hard at this. He's going to confession, that sort of thing. The way that the bad spirit enters into this is through a friend who's really totally under the influence, if you will, of the bad spirit. And that we find is very common, that the influences to destructive behaviors in our lives, to darkness, to sin, often comes to a person in our life who's most immersed in that reality. Is that something you found to be common?
It is one of the ways in which the enemy may try to discourage the person. Ignatius calls this a biting action of the enemy. You know, you think things are going well, you're happy with your new situation, don't think that this is so stable. How many times have you tried this? How long has it ever lasted? What makes you think it's going to last this time? So in the story, what I do is introduce Jim as a way to externalize that action of the enemy. It can come through other people, as you say, Dan. Sometimes we can simply hear it in our hearts as well. So it can come in a variety of ways. The key thing is to identify it for the discouraging lie of the enemy that it is and firmly reject it. And obviously a lot hangs on this, doesn't it? If Mark believes the voice that's mediated to him through Jim, you're too weak, it'll never change, he could very well just give up this whole thing and things could go back to where they were, which is the enemy's hope. But if he knows Ignatius' wisdom here and reaches out for help and rejects it, he actually comes through this all the stronger.
Yeah, that's great. One of the phrases that Dan picked up when he was studying discernment of spirits, and that we both use as we help teach this and share it with other couples and other individuals, is that Dan will say, all the voices in your head are not yours, and you shouldn't listen to them. So you were talking about that voice in the heart of, and trying to discern, is this of the good spirit, the bad spirit, is it our own? And I, what I find fascinating, and I remember when I was in this period of my life where I was in darkness, I was certain that I was in mortal sin, that I was going to go to hell, and I was going to destroy lives of loved ones around me. And it was a very dark time. I thought that was me. I thought that behavior, everything, this is who I am, right? And you see that so often in individuals that are fighting, they're desiring to get out of this, and they start to walk that way, and they're just saying, you know, I can't do this. I can't do this. I have to give up. I'm never going to make it. And they embrace it as, this is just who I am. This is just my character. Everybody's just going to have to get over it and accept me as I am in my sin. And it's just not true. The Lord is calling us to better. He's calling us to freedom, and desires to give us all the graces that we need to come out of that and to be free. And so I think that fight within us, sometimes we must understand that all those voices are not ours, and we shouldn't listen to them.
Well, that's, I've seen, look, we're only on rule two here, but I have seen even this rule change people's lives dramatically. Because exactly as you say, Stephanie, when we believe that voice that says, look at you, what a mess you've made of things, you know, you'll make your efforts, but you know yourself, you know you're too weak, you know you're never really going to change. If we believe that is the voice of the good spirit, to use Ignatius' terminology, that's God, that's what God is saying to us, that is very, very heavy and discouraging. Mm-hmm. And so with the help of St. Ignatius to realize, wait a second, that isn't what God's saying to me. That's what the enemy who wants to discourage me is saying to me. And he, biblically, he's the liar. None of this is true. I can do all things in him who strengthens me. This is where people begin to be set free. The door isn't closed. All the possibilities lie open to me. And that is one of the many reasons that has kept me for almost 40 years now writing and speaking about these rules, because of the difference that they make in a person's life. And since we're speaking about marriage, if Mark can realize, you know what, this is not God speaking to me, this is the enemy, and I can reject it. And even more, if he and Anne can talk this out and work through this together, what a difference it's going to make in their marriage.
Amen. Amen. And it has made a huge difference in our own marriage. This teaching will absolutely set you free. I teach a course at the Avila Institute. Recently, in the last course that I taught, there was a woman who had been in depression for 30 years, said just these ideas that we're talking about today set her free, because she realized it wasn't a physiological problem or a psychological problem, but an issue of the bad spirit oppressing her. And when she began to resist, suddenly the air cleared and she found her way to freedom. When we get back from the break, we're going to continue to talk of how you can become free, and how the enemy works, and how the Lord works, or the good spirits work to help you to be free. And we'll be right back.
Hey friends, this is Dan Burke. If you are blessed by the work of Divine Intimacy Radio, if we've helped you with your spiritual life through spiritualdirection.com, or if you want to join in and change the world through the Avila Institute High Calling Program, where we're now forming men in more than 5 dioceses around the country to enter into seminary to be holy priests, please consider helping us out with a monthly donation. Go to avila-institute.org, click on the donate button, and give us a hand if you would.
If you've always wanted to delve into the richness of the spiritual lives of the saints, the Avila Institute for Spiritual Formation offers you the unique opportunity to learn more about Catholic spiritual theology through live, interactive online courses. Whether you are seeking personal enrichment, continuing education, or a graduate certificate in spiritual theology, the Avila Institute can help. Just go to www.avila-institute.com to start your spiritual journey today.
This is Dan and Stephanie Burke. Welcome back to Divine Intimacy Radio. We're here with Father Timothy Gallagher talking about his new book, Discernment of Spirits in Marriage, which you can find at spiritualdirection.com. And we're on chapter 2, episode 2 of 14. when you want to grow closer to God. And Stephanie, you have a question for Father Gallagher.
Yeah, so we've been listening to this email exchange between Jim and Mark. And in this, Jim has condemned him. You're never going to, you know, the enemy, the bad spirit is speaking through Jim. You're never going to change. You might as well give this up. You're always trying to do these holy things, you know, give it up. And so in that, how does the work of the good spirit help?
So one of the key principles that Ignatius enunciates in this second rule is that throughout these 14 rules, if the enemy does one thing, the good spirit is going to do exactly the contrary. There will always be an exact contrary quality to the way the enemy and the good spirit work, which is a great help toward discernment. So if the enemy is trying to bite, Ignatius says, and sadden, and just make it seem like it's so difficult, placing obstacles, Ignatius says, you're never going to be able to continue or finish with this, troubling the person with all kinds of false reasons and so forth. The good spirit does exactly the opposite. The good spirit gives beautiful words. Ignatius says the good spirit gives courage and strength. So, for example, when Mark hears Father Reed speak and later when he meets with him, it is enormously freeing and energizing for him, and he comes out of this with a whole new strength. Or the men's prayer breakfast is a source of courage and strength for him and so forth. The good spirit gives inspirations. Why don't you pray? Why don't you go to Mass this Sunday? I probably should speak with Father Reed. You know, I'd like to hear his talk on Wednesday night. So the good spirit is constantly doing this, giving inspirations that will lead us forward. And when the enemy is saying, you know, obstacles, 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 you're too weak. How many times have you tried? It's never gotten anywhere. What makes you think it's going to be different? The good spirits are saying exactly the opposite. No, no. Look at, with God's help, look what's already happened. Look at the wonderful steps. Look at the way your life is changing. It's beautiful, and much more lies ahead. You know, so you're going to get exactly the contrary action. And the key thing in terms of living discernment, in this case in marriage, is to identify and reject these discouraging lies of the enemy, and identify and accept and drink in and follow this encouraging, heartening action of the good spirit. If you can identify which spirit is speaking, either the discouragement of the enemy or the encouragement of the good spirit, then you're so well ahead in the game and so much more able to move toward a freedom.
That's so beautiful. You know, one of the ways that I find that this ends up playing out, and I've heard this time and time again, is that someone will meet someone in ministry or a friend or at church or whatever, and they'll see the joy in them and the freedom in them, and something will, the good spirit, the Lord, will move within them and say, and they'll phrase it this way, they'll say, I saw something in her, and I knew she had something I didn't have, and I wanted it. So they start moving that direction. Or, you know, a man will see something going on in a friend or whatever and say, they have something I don't, and I want that. What is that? Help me get there. And I think that's the good spirit that's starting to awaken them, open their eyes to see something that's beyond their present reality.
Yes, exactly. And in terms of Ignatius, what you have there is that that person serves as an instrument of the good spirit for that person, conveying hope and energy and a sense of new possibilities. Beautiful thing when we do that for each other.
It is. It is beautiful. And one of the things that I think is so powerful also about all of this is just when you begin to, when you learn the rules, so you read a book like this, you read my book, Spiritual Warfare and the Discernment of Spirits, or Father Gallagher's first book on this, The Discernment of Spirits. When you begin to read you begin to become awake to what's going on, and then you begin to be able to classify, oh, is this the good spirit? This is the bad spirit. How do I listen? How do I follow? And then, Father, what I've noticed, and I'm wondering if this is, you know, common experience, is that you become more practiced. You become more acutely aware, where for me, like, there were probably years of my life that I've been in pretty heavy desolation. Then it moved to months, then it moved to weeks, then it moved to days, then it moved to hours, then it moved to minutes. because of the learning, having the ability to fight, the understanding of how to fight, is that a common progression that people experience?
Yes, absolutely. And in fact, you see it in Ignatius himself as he goes through his life from a very rudimentary level of discernment. In fact, in one of his earliest discernments, he leaves to the animal he's riding. You know, depending on the direction it would go, he would do one thing or the other. So Ignatius didn't start as the master that we see him in these rules. And the same is true with all of us. It's like prayer itself. Prayer grows as long as we're faithful and we do our imperfect but sincere best to pray. Gradually, prayer will grow over our lifetimes. And the same thing happens with discernment of spirits. So yes, we'll struggle, things will slip. Mark will miss the fact that this is the enemy trying to discourage him. But with Anne's help, with prayer, with Father Reed and so forth, he'll get it again and go on. And what happens is we grow in the ability to discern. And each step of that growth is beautiful. There's increasing liberation. You said it very well, Dan. And I'll say this as a principle for anyone listening. If any of us has lived or is living years of spiritual desolation and discouragement, know that you are called to freedom from that. God Amen. Never calls on anyone to live subject to these discouraging lies of the enemy. So yes, you know, one of the books that I've written on this, I entitled Setting Captives Free, because that's what it's all about.
It is, and as you were saying that, emotion is welling up in me because I've lived it. I think consolation is welling up within me. I've lived it. And to reiterate something so that folks don't get discouraged, you know, so if I was talking to Mark, I would say, now, Mark, you're beginning to learn this. Recognize that initially your awareness can often come a little too late and you sort of end up back in the sin or in a difficult place. But you had a moment of clarity and then you struggled with your flesh. But you keep fighting, and then the next time it happens, there's a little bit more window, more room to pray, more room to fight. And then the next time, more room to pray and fight. And I'm just describing my own life when I say that. That reality came to me. So that as we begin to practice discernment of spirits, we're not going to be expert. We're not going to overcome every time. We will enter into desolation, even though we know. And we may not exit it quickly or easily, even though we know. But my experience is that over time, as you master it and you get stronger in your will and stronger in your orientation, your ability to orient your heart and mind to God, you begin by His grace to overcome more easily. Is that make sense, Father?
Oh, yes, absolutely. You know, very much along the lines of what you just said too, Stephanie. It's important to say along these lines that there is no shame in experiencing these discouraging lies of the enemy. And I'm going to repeat that because that's so key. Sometimes we do feel very ashamed. You know, look at me. Look at the way I'm struggling. There's no shame in these struggles. Every saint who has ever loved the Lord has undergone them as well. Ignatius himself, if you read his spiritual diary, Therese of the Child, any of them. So there is no shame in experiencing such struggles. This is normal spiritual experience in a fallen but redeemed and loved world. What does matter and makes all the difference is to be aware of the experience, to understand whether it's of the good spirit or in this case of the enemy, and firmly in this case to reject it. Then you move toward freedom.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, what comes to mind is at the beginning of when I started my prayer life and I was going through spiritual direction, you and I were in the beginnings of our marriage, and I was learning this. I wouldn't have described it as discernment of spirits because I didn't know that term at that time. And this was, you know, some 14 years or 13 years ago, somewhere around there. But as I what I realize, and when we talk about shame, is that I would go to prayer and I had a statue of Mary kind of to my left, catty-cornered, and I had Jesus, an icon of Jesus in the middle. And what I realized at one point as I was going through direction is that I was praying with my body catty-cornered, and I was looking at Our Lady because I was too ashamed to look at the Lord straight on, and I didn't even realize that was what I was doing. The shame was so heavy. And as I started to fight and to cooperate with the Lord and all the graces he was giving me, then my body slowly started to turn. And I remember the day when I was able to look at the Lord face to face. And it was so glorious and so freeing. And it was a look of love that he gave back.
And I'll say this one last thing as we start to wrap up in this chapter is the Catechism says that the entire divine economy is ordered to bring us to union with God.
Yes.
That means everything in the kitchen sink God has given you in order for you to grow to union with him, in order for you to be free. He's given us the wisdom of the saints, the mystical tradition. He's given us the sacraments. And the key is not to give up. The key is never stop fighting toward the Lord. And he will give you all you need. It is inevitable. I'll go so far as to say this. It is absolutely inevitable, because it's God's will, that if you don't give up, you're going to win the fight. You're going to keep growing toward him. Stay with us in this series to keep learning about the application of the specific 14 rules of St. Ignatius, which you can find in two other books that our producer will put up for you. One is The Discernment of Spirits, an Ignatian Guide for Everyday Living, also by Father Timothy Gallagher. And you can see it on the screen there if you're watching our live stream. And the other is my recent book, Spiritual Warfare and Discernment of Spirits, which I just wrote to share a bit of my own story and coming to freedom, and also to lead you to Father Timothy Gallagher's work. But this work, Discernment of Spirits in Marriage, will change your life. It'll change your marriage. Please make sure you go out to spiritualdirection.com, pick it up, pick up these other books, go to EWTN's religious catalog, dig in, and you'll find the freedom. You'll find out what Jesus meant when he said that he came to set the captives free.
Yeah, and join us tomorrow, same bat time, same bat channel, hopefully, yeah, on spiritualdirection.com, on our Facebook page. So until next time, may the God of peace make you perfect in holiness. May he preserve you whole and entire, spirit, soul, and body, irreproachable at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Learn more about the interior life. Visit spiritualdirection.com. Divine Intimacy Radio is a co-production of EWTN Radio and spiritualdirection.com, and heard worldwide on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.